Today, the Arizona Department of Health Services has recorded another 1,813 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases to nearly 164,000. More than 22,500 tests were administered in Arizona last week. They returned a positivity rate of 13%. The state is reporting no deaths due to COVID in the past 24 hours. To date, 3,304 Arizonans have died because of the virus. Now, for more on what we're seeing at this point in the pandemic and whether there is any light at the end of this tunnel, I talked to Dr. Farshad Fani Marvasti, or Dr. Shad, the Director of Public Health Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Arizona's College of Medicine, Phoenix.
The data is definitely showing a plateau, I think, corresponding with respect to time with the enaction of mask laws in over 90% of local municipalities in Arizona. So I think that that is the impact that we're seeing as more and more Arizonans are actually starting to take the important public health precautions and wearing masks.
Are we still sort of playing a game of wait and see, though? Like, are we in the clear at this point, or how do we begin to sort of see these high daily numbers, even at a plateau, begin to go down?
We're definitely not anywhere near a clearing. So just because we're plateauing doesn't mean we can let off in terms of all the measures that we're doing. It's way too early to tell. What we need to see is a reduction, not just a plateauing. And one way to look at this is a month or so ago when we had our plateau, we were at hundreds of cases per day. Now our plateau is thousands of cases per day. So that's a huge difference in terms of magnitude of the numbers. And our percent positivity in terms of the rolling 7-day average is still above 20%. And that's not acceptable in terms of where we need to be. We need to get that number initially under 10% and ultimately under 5%.
How does the testing backlog that we've heard so much about in recent days play into this? Like, can we really know whether things are improving if so many tests seem to be backed up in labs around the state?
That's another thing that makes it problematic in terms of looking at the numbers. The testing backlog really makes it challenging and murky for us to understand exactly what's happening in real time. Not only is it an issue in terms of assessing where we are at right now, in terms of what's working, how well we're doing with respect to the numbers, but it's also an issue for individuals who are waiting to get their test results back. What we really need to shoot for there is a goal of, you know, results back within 3 days for 80% or more of the tests and really be able to do effective contact tracing and isolation. So in lieu of that, at this point, everybody needs to act as if they have the virus, limit their interactions with everyone, and anyone who thinks they've been exposed should really self-quarantine for at least 14 days, no matter what, in terms of waiting for getting test results.
Are there communities, certain populations that are still not being tested as frequently or as quickly as they should be? I know this has disproportionately affected minority communities here.
Absolutely. It's the thing about the coronavirus is it's the great unveiler. It's exposed the weaknesses in our system. It's exposed the systematic, structural racism and the health inequities and disparities in care. And those are only worse. Anyone who is Black or Brown, part of minority communities, or already in a low socioeconomic status and already challenged, they're that much worse off. And we're seeing disproportionate deaths, disproportionate hospitalizations. So there's much more that we need to do in terms of resources to these communities.
We talked about masks and the way that that's shown to be successful here, at least at this point. The governor, of course, also ordered some businesses to shut down again. Does the data suggest that those closures have helped?
The data definitely suggests that the closures have helped if you look at the timing. Again, it's still too early to tell, and we have a lag in terms of our results and the data. But again, the timeframes look like they align. I can't stress enough how important it is for us to continue these measures and potentially expand them. ADHS released a list in terms of risk of exposure to different activities. And I think that plateauing should not be our goal, and we shouldn't get so excited about a plateau. We are still not out of the woods, and we still have a long ways to go. And in fact, we should be encouraged by the plateau that closing down certain high-risk businesses like gyms and bars have led to an impact, as well as masks. So now I think based on this, we should expand. We should go from just having local mask laws to a statewide mask mandate. So it's unequivocal that everybody has to do it and there should be fines in place. And we also should now look at other high-risk businesses and do a temporary closure of those to get our numbers down even more. And those include casinos, dine-in restaurants, as well as hair and nail salons.
So in your mind, we can't just stay the course here and watch these numbers go down. We will have to do more.
I definitely think we have to do more. I think we should be encouraged that we can actually make a difference with our behavior. And I think we should do more. And people have to recognize that it's not all or nothing. It's not about being closed indefinitely or being open completely indefinitely. It's sometimes one step forward, two steps back, or vice versa, depending on what's going on. I think that's a lesson learned that we did open too quickly and that it's okay if we have to go backwards and get it right because we didn't get it right the first time and it's time to do it now.
So Dr. Shad, lastly, I want to ask you just sort of what you see as the end game here. Like there's still talk of a second wave in the fall. We're still wrapped up in the first. Is this going to be our reality, do you think, for quite some time?
This is our reality for quite some time, but in places like I said, New York and Santa Clara County, for example, in California, places pockets where they have controlled it, and then other countries like Canada and parts of Europe, we can also see the future in terms of what reopening and a new normal looks like. So they're kind of ahead of us in terms of what they're doing. So I think we need to catch up. We need to have mandatory mask mandates. We need to recognize masks similarly to not wearing a mask is like secondhand smoking in terms of its risk, but it's actually probably worse. You know, so if we learn from the lessons of public health past, we need now to kind of push things forward in terms of get cultural norms and values to begin to align with science and public health, just like we did with seatbelts, just like we did with smoking in restaurants and bars. And eventually it will become socially unacceptable to be in public without a mask in a post-COVID-19 world. And we'll have to see where we go once we get a vaccine that's effective and widely available and see how things evolve. But until then, we have to be humble. We have to have a posture of learning, and we have to let the data and the science drive decisions, not politics.
All right. That is Dr. Shad, the Director of Public Health Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Arizona's College of Medicine, Phoenix. Dr. Shad, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.